This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. And we're back with one last thing after a two-week hiatus, but Slava Cooperstein and I will be talking about some changes, hopefully positive, that'll come after the bye week. Slava, great to be talking football with you again after a little bit of a break.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. It's always cathartic to kind of go over things after a loss, and especially headed into the bye week, which has historically been a strength of John Harbaugh's coming out of the bye week. So hopefully we'll be able to make some either slight or not so slight adjustments that will sort of continue to, help this team, get to the promised land as we head into the final stretch.
All right, well, let's start on the offensive side. I know you got a big one up top.
Yeah, so the thing atop everybody's mind, I think, offensively are potential changes at offensive line, in particular in the guard positions. Harbaugh, of course, denied that any such thing was going to be happening. But, of course, over the years, he's said one thing, done another for various reasons, sometimes to protect guys' egos, things like that. But whatever the reason may be, I wouldn't be totally surprised if we didn't see some changes alongside the offensive line.
So specifically, where would you start in terms of changes, and how would you implement them? One for one change, a rotation. What are you looking to see?
Well, personally, if I had my druthers, Cleveland would go to right guard, and I think I would probably take Patrick McCary's per snap production, even with all the penalties. At this point, that to me is probably, based on what I've seen of Voorhees, is still the best combination. Of course, you could have a one-for-one Cleveland over Fa'alele, Voorhees over McCary. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of rotation, which is something that the Ravens implemented earlier this year with Roger Rosengarten and McCary. And then last year with the tackles, when the Ravens were dealing with some injury situations.
Yeah, they were actually pretty creative about that last year. And I'd like to see some of Cleveland at right guard. I think maybe if you're considering a change for the playoffs that might come, I think you do well to try to have a right guard rotation that you can at least see a little bit of who Cleveland is right now. I'm sure they think they know from practice. I'm not sure that's enough. Voorhees, same thing. You're also looking ahead to 2025 and trying to decide what your move is going to be in terms of having McCary back on the roster, because he'll be very expensive to bring back. The other guy that I think I'd like to see rotationally for a few snaps is Josh Jones. They don't own his 2025 rights currently, but they could sign him as well. And he'd be a guy I think it would be good to get in a few snaps at right tackle, a few series at right tackle. Hopefully they have a blowout opportunity coming up. And I hope against the Giants, because this is game they really need to be focused for.
Yeah, I you know, that is a really good opportunity. You know, if the Ravens, at a minimum, they should really be looking to take very seriously that opportunity to give those guys some reps in the event of a blowout. You know, but everything, there's really nothing I've seen from Fa'alele this year, and particularly in the last game, that would lead me to believe that he's produced anything better than Cleveland has. You know, John Harbaugh, his doghouse is legendary, but might be time to sort of let Cleveland out.
They did reverse the doghouse situation in 2012, famously for the Super Bowl run, by moving Bryant McKinney back into the starting lineup, which allowed Orr to move to right tackle, where he was more effective because he was a terrible left tackle, and then move Kelechi Osemele to left guard, where he was outstanding in the postseason. So that was a great run for the Ravens. All right, let's move on. I think one of the big things they need is a backup plan for Bateman. Now, we don't know the severity of his injury. We probably won't hear until next week. But they have to have a plan ready in any case for either of their big two receivers going down, whether it's him or potentially it could be Flowers at another time. And I think they've got three major choices here. The first is embracing the use of Wallace and Aguilar. That's certainly the way they went in this last game, with 40 snaps for each of them and zero for Deontay Johnson, who we'll get to in a minute. I think possibility number two is they get Walker up to speed on offense. That would seem like a difficult to navigate option at this point. I think Walker is kind of limited in terms of how he can help you on a football field, but you know, he's a guy, if he's going to be active for special teams, which may be the case anyway, he's a guy you'd probably like to see what you have on offense. And it goes in with some of the other players down the stretch. They need to win these games, so it's got to come first. But if they get a big lead against the Giants, big lead against Cleveland, week 18, not, you know, it doesn't matter game, be a great chance to see some of these other players get on the field. I'll stop there, because before we talk about Deontay Johnson, which I imagine is a deeper topic, I want to let you respond to those two.
Yeah. In particular with Walker, I think it makes sense to just get him out, get him out there on a deep route, toss a bomb to him. I mean, even if you don't quite connect, all of a sudden, you know, if you get some speed on tape, teams are going to have to account for it. And that's worth something. You know, if he's blowing past somebody and he draws a, you know, pass interference or holding penalty or something like that, it seems worth it. And again, you know, this Giants game might be a really ripe opportunity to kind of try some of that.
Right. So the elephant in the room now, which is kind of funny given his size, is Deontay Johnson here. Honestly, at this point, his usage depends on the nature of the problem. The nature of the problem is one we can't see. And there are two things that are legendarily overreactive, or maybe it's three, with regard to the Raven fan base. First of all, any problem with the Ravens is blown way out of proportion in terms of what's happened. Number two is the fan base never really respects the nature of what's going on behind the scene and accuses Harbaugh of having a doghouse, as opposed to being a practical evaluator of talent. And, you know, the Cleveland situation is a good example, because everything he's done on the field has met certainly a minimum standard of earned the right to fail, as I call it, meaning earning a multi-game right to fail. Deontay Johnson has not earned that with the Ravens. He's sucked when he's been on the field. He wasn't expensive, so he didn't have to be anything. The Ravens would have to have anything more than insurance policy. And I think based on this last game, he's kind of failed as an insurance policy. That's how I'd look at it. His career is nothing where you would project anything. That's the third overreaction by fans, by the way, is that any name wide receiver is great. He had 1,100 receiving yards or whatever it was one year, hit almost 170 targets that year. All you have to get is 6 yards per target, and a tiny amount over that to get to 1,100 yards. That is just not an impressive season at all. And he's at 6.8 yards per target career with Pittsburgh, 6.2 in his year with Carolina. I mean, it's just, there's nothing about him that says you really need to get this guy on the field. He was a backup, and he came to Baltimore, and whatever else is going on, there seemed to be some diva issues involved based on the tweet that was deleted. We don't know what the there's two sides to every story stuff is, because the Ravens never tell their side of the story. They're not trying to make it. Deontay Johnson was the only one making public that there's another side to the story of why he's not playing. So I'm fairly frustrated with him, and whatever Harbaugh says is the answer on Deontay Johnson, I believe is probably the correct answer on Deontay Johnson for this team.
Yeah, and something that I think folks have to realize is that Deontay Johnson is not an answer for Bateman or Flowers missing any time. He's the answer perhaps for Aguilar or Wallace missing some time. You know, that's sort of where he slots in. So, you know, backup for Bateman again, you know, I agree that increase in snaps for Wallace and Aguilar make a lot of sense. Probably also try to maybe get Isaiah Likely a little bit more involved. He's really on the border of, you know, tight end and wide receiver.
Yeah, that's kind of leaning into heavier schemes is definitely something the Ravens can do. And I know people don't want to hear that we want to go back to the Greg Roman offense, and I'm not really suggesting that. I'm suggesting that they lean on the receiving qualities of those players. Isaiah Likely's been terrific and could give you a lot of that. My second point of improvement deals with some of the tight end situation, but let's hear your second first.
Yeah, my second point is sort of rediscovering some of the easy answers on offense. You know, I you tend to call them the easy buttons, the screen game, which had reemerged in the middle of the season, in particular with Justice Hill to great effect. It seems to have waned a little bit recently. You know, you've said many times on your shows that Lamar Jackson is his own check down. Lamar has had an incredible season, but there have been times where, in particular in this game as well, where he's looking for a downfield bomb where he can pick up eight on the ground easily. And I'm not suggesting that Lamar, you know, put himself in harm's way, right? If Lamar's done, the season's over, right? But he's really good at knowing how to get down, how to not take major hits. And there has been some really easy small chunks that would keep drives alive that we've sort of left out there on the field this season.
Completely agree with that. The one note I'll make on Justice Hill and returning to more of the screen game. One is, I think they just did it in this game with Derrick Henry, and they need to use him as an outlet receiver probably a little bit more would be good. He kind of rarely has a blocking responsibility on a pass play. It does happen, but it's not that common. But the thing that's been holding back Justice Hill is he has enormous blocking responsibilities. Just this last game, he had, I don't remember, 16 or 17 different chip and set blocks in total that he threw. When that's happening, each of those reduces his ability to get to the right spot in the screen game and survey the defense, see where he has say space out relative to other players that are on the field. He just doesn't have the same options that he otherwise has. So if they're going to get more out of Justice Hill, I think they need to get less out of Justice Hill as a pass blocker. And honestly, he hasn't been that great recently with some of his pass blocking. So it's something, you know, he missed a cut block that led to a sack in the game against the Eagles. It was about two thirds his, as I saw it. I think I want to see more screen game, more easy stuff, but it's not the easiest stuff to actually implement. They have to make other sacrifices in order to do it.
Yeah. And Lamar and Monken are going to have to be okay with him, sometimes scheming up very quick passes, and things to sort of stymie, the pass rush, because you can't just keep everybody in there to block all the time. Sometimes you need to get rid of the ball quickly. And also we have some pretty good blocking receivers and tight ends, you know, further downfield. I mean, we've seen Isaiah Likely make some tremendous blocks in front of receivers. It's definitely something that a message that can be sort of ingrained over this bye week.
All right. Let me go to the second one that I had. That's elevating a blocking tight end to make up for the loss of Kolar. Really showed up in this last game against the Eagles. They were short, big on defense and offense. And what do I mean by that? They didn't have the ability, because of the lack of safeties, to move Hamilton down to slot corner when it could have really helped them against a very heavy 12 personnel team that also used a lot of sixth offensive linemen to kind of fuel their run game. The more you can do that, the more you can force Hurts to throw for the win for Philadelphia. And I think that would have been very much to the Ravens' advantage to do so if they could have. One of the things that's just the defensive side of that. On the offensive side, they weren't heavy enough to execute their own run schemes. The Philadelphia defensive line, the defensive front as a whole, was frankly too athletic, but they're also too big to deal with. And when Jalen Carter, who was out there for 71 of 72 defensive snaps, and he's still playing at the level he is, I don't know what you do about that. But one thing you have to start with is being bigger. They don't have Kolar, an Eric Tomlinson-like blocking tight end who can catch the ball maybe occasionally when it's thrown to him, Nick Boyle, that kind of blocking. That's what they pretty much need. Those guys sometimes are available on the street this time of year, and sometimes they're not. But the Ravens probably have a list of two or three guys that they're ready to call. They have Scotty Washington, is about 6'5", 242. They have another guy, Zaire Mitchell-Payton, who I believe is an international guy, who's 6'5", and about 257. So he's bigger that they could bring in and bring into that role. Or they could go to the street and have a more specific blocking tight end. But they're going to play some teams that play big these next few weeks. And the Steelers in particular, I'd like to see them have another true blocking tight end so they don't have to play so light. They played at about 1.53, 1.52 heavies per play this last week. That's just way too light for the Baltimore Ravens. It's very unusual, even though that would be probably normal to a little bit heavy for a lot of other teams.
Were you, and I apologize if you covered this in the offensive pod, but were you surprised by the lack of sixth offensive line in this game?
A little bit. I mean, they only used two. It was Jones both times. They didn't use Cleveland for whatever reason. I thought that would be a place that they would replace tight end snaps, but that's included in that 152, 153 number. Was I included the two Jones snaps in there? But yes, I was surprised. How about you?
No, I was shocked, honestly, because they seem to be getting completely worked up front. And again, as you're saying, if you're not getting what you need out of Justice Hill, for example, as a receiver, because he has so many pass blocking responsibilities or whatever, and you're just not able to impose your will or protect Lamar as needed, sort of seems like a sixth offensive line would have been helpful.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And let's flip over the defensive side of the ball and improvements that could be made there. And I think I'll start on this one with the interior defensive line. I think a healthy Pearson Jones will make an enormous impact. We should see right away against the Giants. They're apparently going to get very lucky and miss Dexter Lawrence on this game for this game. And that should give them an advantage on the offensive side. But on the defensive side, I think it'll improve the run defense. They'll have probably 2x2 pairings that they use, with Urban being mixed in primarily as a third guy on base packages. So I think that we'll go back and we'll see Washington and Pierce playing together, possibly Pierce and Urban some together. And then almost always we'll see Travis Jones and Matapike together, which should really improve the defensive line and also reduce the fear of being short a defensive lineman in some games. I'll say this, they didn't even against the Eagles, which seems ridiculous. They didn't even use their fifth defensive lineman, Wormley, who played one real snap and then I think two other kneel snaps. So they didn't use him at all. Very strange game. They really overworked both Jones and Matabike in the game in terms of snaps, as I would call it.
Yeah, I think that's outrageous asset allocation because that's a spot where you're not implementing your depth at all to the benefit of anyone on the team. That Jones already isn't at 100%, so you're risking additional injury there. And Matabike has been playing just an unreal number of snaps. I mean, help your guys out. I really don't understand, you know, at least on, you know, on early or obvious rundowns, right there. I understand you're trying to win a game, but, you know, the game has a certain length, a certain life to it, and the season has a certain length and life to it, and you need to be careful to preserve both. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of my thoughts about improvement over the week would be starting to implement a little bit of traveling with the cornerbacks on receivers. We've seen over the past few weeks, you know, receivers like Jamar Chase and I don't know why I want to say Antonio Brown, for the Eagles. I mean, his name has completely escaped my mind. The lead receiver for the Eagles.
Oh, but AJ Brown.
AJ Brown. Yeah, I just couldn't get AB still haunts my dreams, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you know, receivers like those who in games where the number two receiver is missing should be an obvious opportunity to double that receiver, since you're really not afraid of the other receiving options.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Teams really haven't taken those opportunities. Now, my thought, I think, is that Zach Orr and the rest of the staff didn't want to introduce too many, you know, kind of variables into a situation where they've just now figured out how to operate the defense with the current personnel, which, you know, having to bench Marcus Williams is something that shocks, you know, everybody. And once you, you know, get that sorted out, I think now is an opportunity for the Ravens to sort of start to deal with some of these more finer nuances with their secondary.
Yeah, I like the idea, and I like the idea of traveling. It's something we've discussed a little bit on the defensive show from time to time, but I think the way to implement it would be to leave either Humphrey or Stevens on the number two receiver, and then move Wiggins to follow the number one, but give him help on a consistent basis over the top from safety. They seem to have figured out the safety thing in terms of getting better production there and really defending against a lot of big plays over the top. Let's leverage that into something better. I think you made a good point in the production meeting that they have a chance. They have an opportunity now to fix some additional things now that they've got the safety leakage and the safety big play blow-ups dealt with. And this would be a, you know, one potential way to do it. And I've talked about some specific games in the past. I won't repeat it again about you know, lining up a good corner and safety help over the top against a top receiver and just doing it, you know, play after play after play. Some of the ways they've been beaten by number one receivers this year have been pretty bad. And they really should make an effort to shut down number one specifically. I think the way to do it is to break the Ravens mold of keeping the corners on the same side, which has been, by the way, a Ravens tradition for many, many, many years.
Yeah. And particularly in games, I mean, you don't have to do it every game, but if T. Higgins is out, if Devontae Smith is out, it is an opportunity really to shut down what the other team does well. And, you know, instead of allowing the offense to entirely dictate what the matchups are, this gives the Ravens an opportunity to dictate a couple things on the defensive side of the ball.
All right. Sounds good to me. I'll go with a second. I think they need to pick up a safety still who can play the back end. And by the way, Desmond King might be that guy. They don't have an immediate role for Desmond King. They now have five healthy corners, presumably who could all contribute something. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot from JAD this year or in his whole career for that matter, but he did play a little bit and got a PD the previous week. So they might not need another cornerback right this second. They've got Arthur Maulette still who could come back from IR. I don't know that he really has a big chance to contribute to the Ravens this year, but we'll see. But Desmond King is the guy who could be, who's on the roster currently and could be a guy they move into that back end safety role, which would allow Hamilton to move up. And that's really the big change that we made there. They missed out on Marcus May. It was very disappointing. They wanted that win against the Chargers, but then it ended up costing them in terms of losing the claim order position on Marcus May, which really sucked, I've got to say. The only other possibility, you know, for having another safety to get on the field is Marcus Williams. I don't know that I trust it or him right now, given what's happened. Obviously, Williams earned his two benchings this year. He earned them all the way through and through, regardless of what else is going on behind the scenes. He earned it. And whatever else is going on behind the scenes would be more than icing on the cake in a lot of ways. It's just Harbaugh has, you know, eaten some crow, frankly, on this one, to have him active for games as a emergency backup. He played one snap in each of two consecutive weeks. And I don't think that's worth it. I think, you know, go out and find your safety, whoever it is. Bring up Desmond King from the practice squad. Don't play games with Marcus Williams. It's over for him in Baltimore. And if it's not over, have that be something on the bye week that you really think about. How do you reframe the conversation with Marcus Williams? How do you have another high level meeting with him to say, hey, Marcus, we really want you to buy into the system and play this. Obviously, the play earlier this year wasn't getting it done. Are you in a position where you can feel like you can adopt some of the things we've asked you to do?
I agree. And who knows what's going on? It's sort of like Deontay Johnson. Who knows what the actual issue is? I don't believe it's a matter of talent. It's there's no way for a guy who played per snap as well as he did over the last 2 years and in his career before that to immediately forget how to play the game of football. I just don't believe it.
Right. I mean, I don't think in Williams' case and even in Deontay Johnson's case, who I know a lot less well, I don't think it's that either of those guys don't love the game of football. That's my problem with Ben Cleveland, is I think that Harbaugh's disdain for Cleveland is largely based on him not loving the game of football and, you know, probably being lunkheadishly late for meetings or whatever he does, but just not taking the game as seriously as he could, either in practice or in terms of his work ethic, his lifting, getting to the facility on time, whatever it might be. But honestly, I don't think with either of the other guys, it's that they don't love football. I think they do. I think it's a matter of they're also kind of free spirits and want to do it their way.
I think that's a good read. So then moving on to one last thing that the do you see that? I dropped the title in the middle of the podcast. One last thing on defense is to take a little bit of time to sort of resolve the, I don't even know if you would call this a inside linebacker competition, but sort of the rotation. I think the Ravens, particularly during Roquan Smith's absence, but even this past week, have taken some time to sort of look at some of the different combinations that are available to them at the inside linebacker position. I don't know whether it's a question of they don't like what Trenton Simpson is providing them, or maybe they just like some traits on certain downs with, you know, Chris Board and the like. You know, they seem to be throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. It's, you know, the bye week is a really great time to sort of settle in on a cohesive philosophy on what that is, which just doesn't seem like they've done that quite yet.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's unhealthy, by the way, but the multiple parking lot puzzle pieces moved during this last week. First of all, Malik Harrison returned exclusively to outside linebacker, and that's where the Ravens need him. Yep. You know, they need him as a early down run defender and to eat some snaps. They overate snaps in this game, frankly, because Elway only played 15. But they, if Van Noy is not back, I mean, they are really shorthanded on the pass rush. They're really shorthanded in terms of legitimate rushers. They don't seem to be willing to put Adisa Isaac out there in an important snap. And they put Ajabo out there for 8 snaps, which is not enough to justify his roster, his game day roster position. So if Tavius Robinson is really your number two outside linebacker, that's kind of weak, honestly. I'd want to have him be more of a rundown guy, but commit to it at least if that's what you're going to do. So I'm okay on what's going on the outside there. What's going on the inside is very strange because Simpson apparently during the absence of Roquan Smith had his role really reduced further. So he'd lost a bunch of snaps to Hamilton playing dime earlier in the year. Now he's losing snaps, not on a down by down situational basis, which would be a lot better for him in some ways. If he was a two down player and they brought in Board on third down, that would be one thing. That's not what they're doing. They're rotating series by series, the entire series for each player. That speaks to an open competition between Board and Simpson, which frankly, it's not good for Simpson. It's really not good for the Ravens that they are not yet in a position where they trust Simpson enough at this point. Because Board, I mean, he's a journeyman guy. He's in a second tour. It's like bringing in Josh Bynes and he beats out whoever you've got at inside linebacker early in the year. It's not the ideal situation. It might be the best combination. And I do think that the competition is probably actually healthy for Simpson to get it done. I just hope it gets resolved and resolved in Simpson's favor at some point here, because I don't think Chris Board is any sort of a long-term answer at that position.
Totally agreed.
Want to move on to special teams?
Let's do it.
All right.
We can start with the for special teams changing. The Ravens sort of need to, I think, change their philosophy with their roster allocation on special teams. The Ravens, I think, have overemphasized their needs on special teams this year, thinking that this dynamic kickoff mm-hmm. was going to be more dynamic than it's proven to be. Most teams have sort of settled for let's take the kickoff out of the game and kick it for a touchback. And certainly the Ravens have operated that way for most of the season, which sort of leads me and I think a lot of other people to think that they really don't need as many special teams only players available, and certainly not at the expense of people who would actually potentially play meaningful snaps on offense or defense.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, by the way. And you know, they have a lot of guys who just don't play special teams for whatever reason. But one of them is David Ajabo. Okay, David Ajabo is a specialized pass rusher, and this is not uncommon, by the way, that you have guys in that role who don't really play special teams, and they have trouble initially getting on the field as specifically a situational pass rusher because of that. Well, if Ajabo is going to play 8 snaps, you know, it's obvious why Isaac should be active ahead of him, who can play 24 snaps and those same 8 snaps, 24 snaps of special teams, that is, and then those same 8 snaps at probably not really any worse a level, honestly, right. but maybe it's a slight amount less. I don't see the, I think Ajabo will have trouble making the team next year. They certainly are in the market for a pass rusher, maybe both a veteran and a draft pick this next year. So I think they could do both. But for the rest of this year, I think they really got to figure out, try and get some people who are not maybe doing it right now to play special teams. Ajabo is one. Marcus Williams would be another. If you know, you're on as an emergency safety and they need additional people to cover kicks, you know, you probably want to try and see if you can get Marcus Williams to do it. But on the other hand, Marcus Williams has got to be committed to doing it. And I'm not convinced he would be. I think he would consider that such a major demotion. It's like kind of if either of us, I mean, you're a lawyer, I'm an actuary. If you told us, look, what we really need right now is help in the mailroom, I'd have a hard time getting up for that assignment.
Sure, sure. But, I guess the response to that is playing the film of Ray Lewis with that tremendous special teams block on the McAllister field goal return for a touchdown, yeah. Right? You know, they put their stars in because they needed to play, and they got it done. I just don't think that the Ravens have done enough to insulate their position groups, in any circumstance for the interior defensive line, right? We've talked about this all year, right? But also in a situation where, you know, Kyle Van Noy is down, right? And you know, all of a sudden Oway's responsibilities are just through the roof, right? You need Isaac and Ojabo taking snaps, right? If only to preserve, you know, your only remaining effective pass rusher, right? Yeah. So you know, the Ravens, I think, are overemphasizing special teams, and this is an opportunity to course correct over the bye week.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll toss in the last one, and I don't think anybody's going to be too surprised on this. Got a lot of questions this week on exactly this topic, and that is minimizing the impact of Justin Tucker. And I think there's two ways to do this. This would have been sacrilege in this town, you know, even 3 years ago, even last year, would have been just like, why would you want to ever do that? But right now in plus territory, if they're between about the 25 and the 40, the Ravens need to completely rethink their down and distance going for it situation, maybe between the 20 and 40 even. And I would be very aggressive about that, since there's only a modest gain from, say, punting from the 37 or 38 yard line. I mean, teams do it sometimes. I think it's laughable. They do. Mathematicians say go for it. The upside is, you know, really pays for itself. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson. I can easily see, you know, that 4th and 8, 4th and 9 would become the normal place where you would go for it from between the 35 and the 40 yard line, for example. And there's going to be, you know, old timers or a lot of people who just don't buy into the notions about fourth down, or just want to complain about it on a results basis, who won't like it. I think it's a good gamble now anyway, when you have an average kicker. Ravens don't seem to have an average kicker right now. And that was one of the reasons why, you know, being at the 35 yard line, having fourth down was an automatic field goal attempt on probably about 4th and 3. On most neutral game scripts, it just can't be anymore. But the second thing I'd like to consider is whether or not it's worth it to bring in competition, so that they bring in somebody else. It'd be a Randy Brown, probably has some names already, that they would bring in, put on the practice squad. He'd be available for elevations, and it might provide Tucker with just maybe just looking at another kicker kicking would help him to correct some of his own issues. Now, he does that. I'm sure he looks at every other kicker, you know, kicking for the opposition, but I just think some healthy competition at this point would probably be a good addition for Justin.
Yeah. So a couple things. So just addressing the competition, for what it's worth, Jay Feely, longtime kicker, was asked about this, and he offered his perspective that bringing in competition really wouldn't be helpful at this point. And I think that he is sort of making two judgments here. Number one, the judgment is the person that you're bringing in to compete isn't necessarily going to, at this point in the season, isn't going to be a particularly good kicker. Mm-hmm. So doesn't necessarily place the Ravens in a much better place, and you're risking, further damaging, I guess, Justin Tucker's psyche or confidence or whatever. And I think it's probably accurate at this point to say that the Ravens are best served seeing if Justin Tucker can figure this out. Now, I think that it's their fault at this stage in the season that that's where they're at, right? If they had been a little bit more, you know, quick to pull the trigger on competition, they could have done that a little bit earlier in the season. Maybe the quality of who was available might have been a little bit better. But, you know, it is what it is from that perspective. Now, as going back to your initial point about being more aggressive, I couldn't agree more. And it shouldn't be that shocking to Ravens fans, you know, because, you know, just go back to 2019, I think at the height of the Ravens' aggressiveness, I mean, Justin Tucker probably had the best gig of any kicker in the NFL. He basically got waved off, you know, pretty much 99% of the time on fourth down. I mean, they went for it so much. And the other thing is that, you know, if you know you're going for it on fourth down, the playbook is much bigger on third and eight, yep, than if you were just trying to convert on third down and now you're faced with a choice and now you're not prepared to go for it on fourth down and fourth and eight, right? So if you're you know, got a good look at a guy and you can pick up 6 yards on third down and all of a sudden it's fourth and two, I mean, that's already, you know, a very, very attractive option. And as you've said many times before, four down football, very difficult to defend. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would pay tremendous dividends for the Ravens.
Yeah, I do too. And it brings Derrick Henry back into the discussion on third down. So you put him back on the field, the Lamar Henry mesh point, you know, has its gravitational pull, but you can also run Henry. You can pass the ball to Henry and you can have Henry pass block. It would be asking a few extra snaps of him per game to have him on in those. And remember, we're only talking about a slice of the field here in plus territory, but maybe it's 1/4 of your third downs. Additionally, you have him on the field. So it might be an extra 3 to 4 snaps per game that you would have him on. Not much. And I think that could very well pay dividends. I mean, I think it gives you your best, highest value plays are all on the from your call sheet that you've installed that week are all back on the table.
Totally agreed.
All right. Always a pleasure talking football with you, Slava. Tell folks where they can talk to you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaKuperstein.
All right. Folks out there, thanks for all the support of the show. We really appreciated it. Slava and I love doing this show, but we couldn't do it without you. Consider, as always, hit subscribe or like and all the things you need to do if you hear this on YouTube, but also just by word of mouth, give this to a friend or maybe forward it to a friend who doesn't know about the show. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.